There we go. You're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Action-packed show where we moved from soccer, horse racing and basketball. And now we're heading to motorsport and a fairly unique event coming to Killarney. We talk about unique motorsport events all the time, but this definitely is something that will get a lot of people excited, and especially more maybe veterans of the sport who remember some of the classic cars and get to see them out in competitive action, which is great. I'd like to be joined, of course, by Sean Moriarty, who's involved in all things motorsport in the county as well. Sean, I suppose Rally Masters Killarney, for those who mightn't have heard about it so far, can you give a brief synopsis of what we can expect in the Killarney Racecourse?
Well, yes, you're dead right. September 27th is the big date, Saturday all day. The Rally Masters Ireland is a trip down memory lane for rally fans, if you like. We're going to have 50 cars, 50 drivers. All of the cars are of significant historical importance, and a lot of the drivers would be very famous names from the sport. Irish and international, of course. For example, we have confirmed that Irish World Rally star Josh McAleen will take to a lap of the, we'll call it the ambulance track at Killarney Racecourse on the day, and he will be driving an ex- World Rally Championship Ford Focus from the kind of early 2000s, mm-hmm. not his current car. All the cars will be in from, say, approximately the mid-80s to the mid-noughties, that 20-year period which you had. Group A, Group B, and the early world cars. Rally fans know what I'm talking about. They're kind of legendary cars of the sport. Legendary drivers will be coming to drive them. We have the likes of Stephen Murphy, a former winner of the Circuit of Kerry Rally here in Tralee, national champion in 1994. Being reunited with the Ford Escort World Rally car that he drove in the 90s. Wow. So first time that... Now, Stephen only went back rallying this year after a long, long retirement, and... The car has been found in the UK. It's been restored in his livery, and Stephen will drive it on today. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what to expect. It's I suppose the most important thing to highlight, Ivan, is that this event is being run for two very worthy charities. They are the Jack and Jill Foundation and the Laura Lynn Children's Hospice. And every all funds, all profits, all monies left over, whatever way you want to describe it, will go to them two very worthy charities that have a huge presence in the county helping sick children.
I suppose we're kind of talking about an event that isn't our usual rally event, that we're out on the stages or we're closing roads out in Miles Gap or wherever we might be. All of a sudden, we're kind of bringing people to it, which is kind of a unique in itself. It's kind of in a sort of a circuit sort of style of, you know, maybe you think of your Formula One, where you come to the venue as opposed to you have to go out onto a section of road. It's kind of unique in that aspect as well. It's probably a great maybe way for families to get in and watch the sport, and maybe it might be a great way for people to sample the sport for the first time when it's in kind of a nice confines of an area that there'll be probably grub and everything else right there on your doorstep.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's stadium motorsport. We don't get stadium motorsport in County Kerry. This event kind of ran in a slightly different format during the 2004-2005 Rally of the Lakes. Mm-hmm. The opening night was in Killarney Racecourse. It was kind of the 21st anniversary and the 20th anniversary of those two things. But it's dead right, you're bringing the rally to the people rather than the people going to the rally. Stadium atmosphere, the grandstands in Killarney, which is the most scenic racecourse in the world, they say. And you can imagine the photographs, horsepower of a different kind will be... looking at these cars, as I say, 50 cars, 50 drivers, each and every one of the cars are of massive historical importance, and the majority of the drivers will be very famous drivers from Irish motorsport. It is a family occasion. It's been run for children charities, and the tickets are available through, if you search the Rally Masters Ireland on the eventbrite.com website, you'll lead you to the ticket section, which is adults €25 for the day. A family ticket is 60, under 18s are €10, and under 10s are free with an adult. So, but pre-booking is essential. These tickets will sell out. There's a limited amount of tickets, and over halfway, with I suppose less than 5 weeks to go to the event now, and this thing has been organised only in the last 5 weeks as well. So we're over halfway with the sales of the tickets. Remember that all the profit, all the money is going to Jack and Jill Foundation and the Laura Lynn Children's Hospice. Yeah. Tongue twister that one.
It's nice to be able to do, you know, things like that for the charity as well. And it's kind of a motorsport that we often give our product away for free in the rallying world. You kind of come out, you might, you know, buy a program. Often fellas will take a picture of another fellas' program. So you pretty much can go out and watch motorsport for free. So you're not asking for much. And I'd say all the profits going to charity, which is which is vitally important. But I remember that 2005 event, Sean, when Conor McRae was actually over that year doing the Rally of the Lakes as a double O car. I was 9 years of age. I remember going out to the race course, and it's great to be able to revive that as well. And that brings back a lot of memories for people maybe this evening you might be listening who remember that in Clarny. And I was nine, but I remember the crowd that was there that night. I suppose maybe rallying at that time was a different sport to what it is now. There was big crowds following it every year, and there's still big crowds coming to Kerry for motorsport events, but those crowds in that day and age was huge, and to bring it down to the race course that time was a huge achievement. So something similar again, and you say the older style cars, a lot of kind of maybe people even over my age will kind of look at those cars and remember them as the big ones that we might think of cars today as well. So it's a great chance to get in with maybe your younger son or daughter, maybe to come at you, hear those noises again, and it'll bring back a lot of memories for people.
Yeah, but you hit the nail on the head there, Ivan. It's the 20th anniversary of the late, great Colin McRae competing in Killarney. 1995 World Rally Champion. And two of the cars that he drove in his World Championship career will be coming to Killarney. The 1997 Wales Rally GB winning Subaru Impreza World Rally car is coming. And the very famous Ford Focus that he lost the 2000 World Rally Championship, mm-hmm. also in Wales Rally GB. Didn't finish that rally. Richard Burns won the rally, won the championship. So those two cars directly connected with the late, great Colin McRae will be in Killarney. Who's going to drive them? I can't say just yet, but it's great to have these cars and the quality. This is the history I'm talking about. The cars that are coming, every one of them, all 50 of them, will have some sort of a historical significance connected with the history of the sport. So on the 20th anniversary of Colin McRae competing in the Rally of the Lakes, we're going to have two of the cars that he drove in the World Rally Championship in 1997 and in the year 2000.
And on the same road as well, yeah. That he drove in 2005. You know, I suppose with a lot of these things, Sean, I mean, you think of vintage cars, and a lot of time we've plenty of vintage runs around the county as well, kind of every weekend, but there are certain cars that are kind of maybe left in a museum or left in a shed somewhere. They don't want them to get damaged, whatever, but these are actually going to be going full tilt in the track. It's something that a lot of people don't get to see, and you mentioned there that the car's getting restored for this event as well. It's like taking a big bit of a risk for them coming out, but it's all for the enjoyment of the spectator that we can go out and see these cars that haven't been rallied in years.
Yeah, these cars are owned by genuine rally enthusiasts, and it's like all classic cars. It's like all cars are, they're no good in the garage. They're sitting there do nothing. It doesn't matter if it's a classic car that you see out there on your average Sunday in North Kerry or South Kerry every Sunday during the summer, or these rally cars. And these are absolutely fantastic rally cars, owned by enthusiasts that want them out and about. A lot of the cars we're talking about, they might turn up in the UK in major events like the Goodwood Festival of Speed. Mm-hmm. Be the first time, definitely the first time ever on Irish side is this Ford Focus from 2000 that McRae drove. Never before has that car been seen in Ireland. Some of the other cars have been left the country, now they're coming back. The Stephen Murphy car is one example. An Eamon Boland Ford Escort Cosworth from that period, late 90s, early 2000s, has also been restored into the very famous livery, the black car with the Hertz logos on it. Eamon's one of the gentleman drivers of Irish motorsport, but mainly competes on World and European Championship events. There's very little rallying in Ireland at the moment, but the fact that one of his cars has been restored to his livery and is back in the country and be seen in Killarney for the first time in many, many years. And of course, his co-driver is the world-famous Mickey Joe Morrissey from County Waterford. And Mickey's going to be in Killarney to be reunited with some of the cars from his youth. So it's, and Mickey's a world champion too. He's the Masters World Co-Driver Champion. So that's kind of what it's all about, celebrating our heritage of the glory days, that I call them, of Group E, Group A and more rally cars from the 1980s straight through to the early noughties.
Yeah, you've mentioned some big names there already, and another one just announced in the last couple of minutes, I believe.
Yes, indeed. We've big surprise on no stranger to Ireland, but we haven't seen him at the wheel of a rally car in Ireland for a long time, a long, long time. It's a Belgium rally hero, Patrick Snyers, seven-time Belgium rally champion and the 1994 FIA European rally champion, a legend of the sport. He's driven everything, Opel Manta 400s, Porsche. He's still contesting rallies in Belgium in Porsches, but he's probably most famous for his antics in a BMW E30 M3, a very famous car, and won the Isle of Man, the Manx International Rally in 1988 in this car. And he is going to be reunited with a replica of that car, if you understand me. It's going to be an E30 M3, but painted in his original colours from 1990, 1988. but won't be the exact car. However, the exact car is registration number, a very famous registration number, GXI9427. I'm showing my geek, my nerd stuff here now, but it's a very famous registration number that was campaigned by Billy Coleman, Bertie Fisher, Patrick Snires, and of course the late great Bertie Fisher. And that car is going to be at Rally Masters in the hands of Dennis Cronin. And of course, Billy Coleman, well, there's talks he's coming, it's not confirmed. Snires is confirmed, and Alistair Fisher, who's a nephew of the late Bertie, is confirmed. So now we've got the four drivers that made GXI 9427 very famous, reunited with the car in the one plot place, and that's going to be cool. And just on another slight mention, we can mention this tonight, I think, on Radio Kerry, is that on the Friday night before Rally Masters, in a Hearn's BMW, Hearn's of course great sponsors of Radio Kerry Sport, Hearn's BMW dealership in Castle Island, on the Friday evening from 5 to 7 p.m, Patrick Snires, the European champion from 1994, will do a meet and greet with the fans, an open forum, and a bit of crack and meet the fans, and that's a great way to kick start the weekend in Hearn's BMW dealership, Castle Island.
Yeah, I suppose to sum it all up, Sean, it's great for the rally enthusiasts, nerds, whatever you want to, your own wording, yeah. The people who know the historic significance. Then there's people who are into motorsport, mightn't necessarily know the historic aspect of it, like watching the rallies locally, they maybe might know the drivers' names. That's okay too, they can come down and see the sights and sounds of it. And then there's people who might be going to their first event because it's in a nice place, you pay to go in, your toilets next year, your food's next year. So it's open to everyone, really, speaking, like, and as you said, the historic aspect of it's great, and there's this fella and that fella's coming and everything else, but at the end of the day, it is another chance to get people interested in a sport that oftentimes they might say, oh, that's past my house and it annoys me or whatever else. Like, it's open to everybody now, and it's you can go to it, it's in a safe location, it's great, it's a family friendly sort of an evening as well. So there's so much going for this event, and it is unique in that aspect.
Yeah, and family day out, of course, and newcomer to the sport, old hands like ourselves, it doesn't matter. The most important thing here is that this has been run for the Jack and Jill Foundation and the Laura Lynn Children's Hospice. Every bit of money that's gathered up on the weekend will be put to them very important charities, and they play a huge role in family life here in County Kerry, and I think that's the most important aspect of it. Yes, open to everyone, the history buffs like ourselves, the newcomers of the sport, everybody in between. Don't forget, it's September 27th, Killarney Racecourse, from 11 a.m. on the Saturday morning till about 4 or 5 that evening, and tickets are available by searching the Rally Masters Ireland Killarney on the Eventbrite platform.
Brilliant stuff, Sean Marty, looking forward to that one, and you never know, we might get to hear from a couple of the drivers maybe the week leading up to that one, and their memories of the cars and everything else. Thanks to Sean for popping by this evening. Go to the text line, great memories of basketball games back the years with the Sim Gym packed capacity, also the John Player Ladies Tournament, which brought the cream of teams from all over the country to Killarney for a super weekend. That's regarding St. Paul's in their 40th years. I'd like to say to everyone involved from day one to the present day, well done on keeping Ballyhard Dynamos going. Not easy, fantastic to see all the teams from underage to seniors playing week to week, and that's from Paul. And I think, yeah, definitely from Ballyhard aspect, it is great to see the club going from strength to strength in a rural area of Kerry. If you want to get in touch with the programme, as ever, you can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300, and you can give Niamh a call next door, 066 712 3666. But we're going hurling after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. Just a reminder that the Miles Gap Road in Killarney has reopened. The Killarney Khmer Road has reopened following a crash earlier on today, and one person has been taken to hospital there, so we wish them well. But the road has since reopened to traffic, so if you're in about Killarney or Khmer, you can now reuse that road, Miles Gap Road. We're only talking about motorsport and we're talking about Miles Gap. Anyway, it's time for hurling. We'll be heading to Abidorny shortly, but like every game in the country at this stage, the minor is always on before. So we said we'd bring the three Parnells lads in before Abidorny. Delighted to have Brian Shannon, of course, the manager, his son Jack, who's the joint captain, and Conor Dennehy, who captained him in the County League campaign as well, all in after a fantastic success for not just Parnells, but I think for hurling the county as well, to see, you know, such a kind of a relatively young club, obviously came back after many years, but still finding their feet in their own tree to go out and win a minor and do it in style. 218 to 110 winners over Crota, of course, in the final. Brian, I suppose, first and foremost, congratulations to everybody in Parnell's first from all of us here. Look, it's a great success. And as I say, it's I think as much success it is for Parnell's, I think it's a success for hurling in the county. And with absolutely no offence to any team in North Kerry, it's great to see, you know, someone new coming in, put the name on the cup and, you know, prove that you can fight at this level as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ivan. Look, it's been a marvellous achievement for us, and I suppose it's something we were aiming for a long many years. When we got involved with this group of players from what, under 15s at the time, we sensed that there was something good, Joe, that could come around. I suppose going back to 2022, there we had a clean sweep that year, and we knew that was something special. And it's kind of ironic there that O'Dornair in after us there, and it was actually in above in the top goals in their field in 2022. We made a go. Look, we'll make a go for the minor championship in 17. Or not 17, sorry, in 2024, sorry. And but we came up short against Crota actually last year in the semi-final. That game went to extra time. So it's been nip and tuck between ourselves and Crota over the years. And then I suppose the middle of November, then the age groupings were changed and we were after getting a second bite of the cherry again, which was great. And it was time to regroup and see where we could take it. I suppose the likes of training and things like that, then we had to try and organise all that, but I suppose a lot of them didn't really able to train in with the club seniors and stuff like that, and then they were involved with schools and hurling and football. And so then I suppose just the county league came around then pretty quickly, and it took off from there. Like you said there, we met Crota in the league final the start of July. They turned us over in that. They beat us by 6 points in that. But I suppose over the years, with the good management teams that that we've had, we've learned, and the players have learned from things that didn't go right on the day. I think we rectified those on the biggest day of all for minor hurling. It was just a fantastic achievement.
What does this do for, say, the underage, or talking your under sixes, eights, tens that go into Carsley maybe on a Saturday morning or whenever it to be on, and kind of like you're able to bring the minor cup into them, and obviously if your seniors now in the senior championship, a great draw this year with Causeway, you know, it's all good for the, I suppose, the prosperity of the club and the future of the club as well, that you can kind of say, look, we can do this, you know, in Tralee, and you know, you're always talking about the dominance of the North Kerry teams, but it's probably a great statement. You can kind of bring that cup in and say, look, lads, you know, you can do this as well, and the future's there for you now as well.
Absolutely. Look, it's a boost for everybody in the club. The club is 13 years old now, and the Camogie Club is 12 years old. And it's a boost for everybody. Like, I suppose with this particular group of players, like I said, it didn't happen overnight. There's been, you have to compliment the coaches that were involved with these guys from under sixes, eights, tens, all the way up along as well. So look at it, they have to be included in all that, and it's a great boost. And then some of these guys will feed into the senior panel. Some have been there this year and got a taste of the county league and championship, and that's a big step up, and there'll be more coming on board next year. I suppose the seniors are finding their way in the senior championship at the moment, and that again, something like that takes time as well, but you've new players coming on board which will freshen up everything again. So they're going into year three now next year, and look at it's I suppose it's, you're just trying to, you want to see progression, and I suppose winning that the minor title there was a mark of progression, and it's stepping stones all the way, like. But like, I suppose I have to mention as well, like, while I'm here representing the lads and all that, like, there's a fantastic backroom team there as well, like, that have to be thanked as well. It's not just me, but there's many others, Mark Rail and your own Andrew that works with you here. You know, that's Colm O'Brien. If I start mentioning, no, I'd leave somebody out, and I shouldn't, you know. But look, they have to take an awful lot of the credit as well.
Yeah, well, Andrew's still gloating anyway. So
sure, he's beaming.
We're still listening to him in the office every day. Yeah. Jack, I suppose from your own perspective, being captain, you know, it's always special, I suppose, and, you know, being able to climb up the steps of Ostag Park. Actually, before I get to the captaincy, about playing the minor before the senior, there's so much talked about Croke Park and All-Ireland Finals into county level. But I was there in county final day, and admittedly, I was a bit late getting into the minor. I had something else on, but I got in there for the end. But there was a great buzz at the end of the game, and as Andrew was telling me as well, the crowd was filling up as it went along. It's great to be able to play it ahead of the senior game and what's a big occasion for Kerry Hurling.
Oh yeah, it was just class. Like, you know, it's a big day, of course, for everyone. Yeah, like we all look up to the seniors, like, you know. So it was great to play in front of them. Then with the big crowd as well. Then yeah, it was class. Like, yeah.
It is a bit more special, isn't it, than kind of playing it. And I know your home is Carsley, but I played a couple of junior hurling finals. It's not the same level, but like we played them over in Carsley on kind of a wet Thursday evening. And there's kind of no bit of a feel to it, but it does mean something a bit more, doesn't it, to be inside Ostag Park. You know, you're coming in around the dressing rooms with the senior finalists in around. They were watching the end of the game as well. The crowd, as I said, was kind of filling up. There was a good crowd there from the start as well. It does add to the occasion for you, like, and you know, for maybe going forward and playing a senior level and everything else going to Ostag Park. You've that experience now of playing in a fairly fiery environment inside Ostag Park already.
Yeah, it's a big pitch, all right. You can be lonely in there as well, you know, if you're having a bad game, all right. But it is a big difference now from Carsley and all that. But yeah, I like playing there now. It's, you know, getting a taste of it now for a senior now next year and all that. Yeah,
the appetite's definitely there. Yeah. Captain, you with kind of your friends and everything else, obviously the school team is going well in Tralee as well, but kind of captain your club with your club mates and everything else to go up and pick up the cup for them, it must have been a real special moment for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an amazing feeling, honestly. You know, being first captain as well for the Pernells, for our first win, great feeling, yeah. And yeah, great to do in front of everyone as well, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a fierce Parnells crowd down the pitch as well for the presentation, which was great to see. Connor, you had a storming game as well. You were captain throughout the County League. Talk to me as well, but I suppose you were beaten by Crotty in that County League final, and obviously disappointment, but that might have driven you on a small bit, did it?
Exactly, yeah. And to be honest, I think Brian mentioned it there. We're a team that kind of learns after our defeats and all that. But what do you call it? I don't know about Jack now, but I've never been so psychologically or physically prepared for a game in my life. I'd say 2-3 weeks beforehand, it was only 4 weeks before we were beaten by Crotty in the league final. But what you call it, like, just the minute we stepped out of Stax Park against Crotty the first time, we just, right, we need to get our act together here. And I don't know, there's just the togetherness of it, like, we were just there every time of the week. I'd say you met a teammate, coach, and we were just all so focused. And like, I'd say we had 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 meetups in the space of a week, like, before the game. And we just learnt every mistake, every possibility we can use to cut out Crotty, like. And thankfully, just everything just worked out. Performance is unbelievable, like. And,
yeah. No, it was, to be fair, and it, like, you know, again, I only saw you know, a bit of the second half, but like, you were just on top for everything, you were first to every ball. But I like what you said there about kind of that hunger. And was it the defeat to Crotty in the county league that you kind of said, we're going to go out and get these ads at the second
chap?
Like, is that what drove you on? Like,
definitely, like, after one or two scores, like, you know, we're like, oh, we can do this now. Like, there was a bit of, like, you know, geez, these lads have to kind of leverage over us, like, you know. And going into the game, kind of, I say we were definitely underdogs, like. Even though we did win Fela, we didn't win, we got a clean sweep that year, but still to be considered underdogs, like, but nearly an advantage in a way. But as I said, after every score, after every tackle, you know, your confidence just builds up. And then just seeing that colour jersey, like, you're just like, oh, I just want to beat them, get the head of the green of against my man, like, you know. So
yeah. But that's like, for such young age, Brian, it is great to kind of hear that comes through in them, and it's what sport's about. You want to win, you want to win with your teammates, and no matter the cost. And that bit of hurt does drive fellas on as well. And you could tell that, like, you know, that county league final, or you said, got the better of you a couple of occasions. Now was Parnell's time, and 2025 was the year to do it.
Yeah, it was actually. There's great passion with this group of players. Like, they're so driven, Mm-hmm. And like you could start off with any team there at the start of the year, and you'll be, you know, our goal is to win the championship. Like, but you know, not every team is going to win the championship. They're not capable. They're not equipped to do that. But like our goals at the start of the year was obviously to get to the county league final and to get to the county championship final. We never actually spoke about it, but I just said at the start of the year we have two goals and that was it, and that was the end of that discussion then. But like I suppose you talk about underage and things like that, I suppose not all success is measured in trophies, but no. when you have a team that's very capable and so driven, and you can sense there's an opportunity here, it's great to have a go at it. Like, we've had enormous success. You could argue that we probably didn't get the credit we deserved for doing what we did 3 years ago, and I think we've met our mark now. This was a statement victory here. Just huge, like, and it's building now the whole time, like.
Yeah.
So look at it augurs best for the future anyway.
Yeah. Talking about the future, Jack, obviously senior now is probably the next thing on your mind. Parnell, to be fair, best year in senior so far, got the result in the group stage. Might have taken a late goal, but still got it to draw with Causeway. Obviously Abidorny, the lads outside, upset the apple tart then by not doing you a favour in the next one. But you know, go up to senior level now after winning a minor, full of confidence I'd imagine, go up and seeing maybe as a senior club what you can do.
Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to now. You know, it's just looking up to Owen Castle now and Dan Maloney are already doing that now. You know, it's bringing us all on, to be fair to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Owen Castle, a big stand-up player there, to be fair to him. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like,
yeah, Conor, I suppose same question to you. I suppose it's kind of like that next step now. You've got the minor medal in your back pocket. Always a really nice one to have, and I'm sure you'll cherish it for a long time. But I think Parnell's, to be fair, at senior level, it takes a while to get up to that level and get up to that speed. And you know, they're kind of there and thereabouts now, and they've got a minor county champions coming in. I don't think Parnell's will be the underdogs for much longer, will they?
Yeah, hopefully not. And you know, Brian mentioned as well about progression and all that. Like, I think the beauty of Parnell's is, you know, it's a recent club that's been kind of founded. So we're all in this, like, trying to get it on the top, like, you know. And after just winning a minor there now, like, so hopefully we can say the same about a senior in a few years' time. So hopefully now.
Yeah, but it's great to see Parnell's, Conor, kind of going well at senior level, and obviously minor level now as well, but up to senior level. It is great for hurling the county, and you see Abidorny, they'll be probably favourites for 3 in a row next year as well. But, you know, you look at the likes of Parnell's and say, you know, if the draw maybe in the group was kind enough, you might get out into, you know, a quarterfinal or something like that, and, you know, that's more progress. And then, you know, the next year's progress is winning that quarterfinal, then the next year's winning a semi. And it does build kind of year on year. And as you say, if you've kind of a crop to come in that have a trophy and a medal in the back pocket, that does give you confidence.
Definitely, yeah. Like, as you say, now there's a panel of nearly 30 lads that have minor medal in their back pocket. That's leaps of confidence for them. Like, you'll have no fear playing senior there, like, you know, and you're just saying to yourself, oh, I'm as good as any of these lads, like, so.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, if you have a good squad of all those fellas now, no doubt at all.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you, what's Andrew Morris like outside the office? He plays all nice in here. I don't think he's like that in the pitch, is he?
Talking.
He talks for a living, to be fair, so I give him that. Lads, an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Well done again. I'm sure you'll celebrate it throughout the winter and full focus then on to hopefully making that jump up to senior next year. But to Brian, Jack and Conor, thanks very much for popping in. As I said, we'll be heading to North Kerry and the Abidorny, the victorious Abidorny team, County Senior Hurling Champions. First ever 2 in a row for them as well. They'll be in studio next.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Rightio, we've chatted to Parnell, so the minor match is over and we're on to the senior match now. Delighted to be joined by Abidorny, the first ever time they've won 2 in a row in the County Senior Hurling Championship. William O'Leary, the chairman's with us, Brian Donovan, selector, Conor Bohan, goalkeeper, James O'Connor, the captain, and of course Brendan O'Leary, who needs no introduction. Lads, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. William, I'll start with you because you were helping me organise all the lads to come in. Massive congratulations first of all from everyone in here. A huge achievement to go back to back for the first time.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great achievement. It shows for what work the lads have put in. They got their reap rewards out of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of hard work and a lot of time over the last 2 years, it just has paid off in the end.
Yeah, I suppose, like, kind of going back to back is tough, and we've talked about, we gave a good preview for the Ireland Championship here, and a lot of people probably wrote off Abby Dorney going back to back, because it's a tough thing to do in Kerry. You're so strong with so many different teams, any year you could say could win it. So to actually do two in a row is a fantastic achievement, and we won't talk about three in a row tonight, but to go two back to back is a great achievement for any club.
It is, but look, we had a social there last year around February, and the speaker at the social was Brian Cody, and he came in, and all the lads were there, and he just said straight out, he said, lads, what you done this year wasn't good enough to win the year coming. The lads took it on board, they stepped up another level, and the rest is history.
As the club chairman, it's obviously a great sense of pride for yourself and obviously everybody in Abby Dorney in the community, and we saw that probably in the scenes from the celebrations and everything else. It means a lot to people out there. It broke a big gap of wins last year, and this one was celebrated just as much, so easy enough to see that it's appreciated in Abby Dorney what the team has done for the village.
Oh, massive. Look, I'm privileged myself to be part of the gang here with the lads. You know, it's a great bubble to be involved in, but what it has done for the parish, kids, everyone around the village, everyone is buzzing around there at the moment now, and everyone wants to be part of the club and give a hand, and just everywhere I look there's kids catching hurleys, wearing jerseys. Sure, what else can you ask for around the village, like, and everyone wants to get involved.
Yeah.
And everyone is looking up to these lads as well, like, and they're great ambassadors of the club around the place. They're brilliant to run with kids, and it's just everyone is enjoying to be part of Abby Dorney at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, that'll make your job a bit easier in the coming years when there's young fellas wanting to play hurling, and make your life a bit easier as a selector, will it?
Oh yeah, like Willem said there, I suppose I was involved there with the juveniles for many years, and there's a lot of unsung heroes through the years, like the likes of Tom Healy, who's not with us anymore, would have trained Brendan and Jamesy, a couple of more team we wear. There's a lot of work done with the club, but look, this didn't start 2 years ago. The process probably started 7 or 8 years ago for these fellas when they came on board, and we knew the quality they had, and then just, I suppose, that extra belief that they brought in the last 2 years has been excellent.
Yeah, plenty of numbers in Abby Dorney as well. You had an intermediate and a junior team this year, and plenty of numbers right across them, so the interest is high in Abby Dorney to be on that senior team.
It is, yeah. Like I said there earlier in the year, like, we lost 7 or 8 from the panel last year, and to be fair, another 7 or 8 fellas were on the phone straight away. Could they come get involved, do a bit of training? They came in, to be fair, they were excellent. Like, we 37 or 8, we only tugged out 30 there on match day, that's all we could. But the other 7 or 8 fellas all year trained really hard, you know, like, it was a huge panel, and like Willem said there, everyone wants to put on a jersey for Abby Dorney, be it at whatever grade you're able to play at, you know what I mean? So it's mighty time for Abby Dorney. Yeah,
you have the winning formula, evidently enough. I suppose, for an outsider looking in, you think of the championship, it kind of ran off over a couple of weeks in the summer and that's it, but the work's has a lot harder for that, I'd imagine, for you.
Oh yeah, 100%. Look, myself, Niall and Francie met last year before Christmas again, you know what I mean? More or less straight after the Munster campaign, you know, and we said, look, we knew the group that we had, you know, but we knew come January, you know, you have to get down to work again. The slogging is done, like I said to the boys many times, the slogging is done up the upper end of our field in Abby Dorney, which is, it's like a bog at times, and you know what I mean? They put in the hours there, they put in the real hard work, you know what I mean, in February and March, to be able to hurl the way they are then in April, May and June, you know what I mean? So yeah.
What was the mindset, I suppose, coming into the year, obviously as defending champions for the first time in all of kind of your memories anyway, and wanting to obviously go back to back? Was that kind of the mindset from the start, that you wanted to go out and win it again, or was it a case of, you know, we've seen teams the last couple of years come and go, kind of win one and having kind of shown up next year, you obviously didn't want that to happen?
No, we didn't want it to happen, but like, we didn't know what was going to happen until later in the year, you know. I suppose the turning point for me was probably we had gone nice and steady through the county league. We weren't overly good, or we weren't overly bad either. We were getting wins, and we'd lost one or whatever, but we were scraping through. But the county league final really, really cemented, you know, what good a team they are, when we were down 5 or 6 points there, going down the home straight. And look, it took a lot of character to turn that around and win that match. And I suppose then I probably focused after that then on getting us ready for championship, and I just thought, you know, this bunch are special, so they're quite capable of doing it, you know. So and signs on, they did do it over the years. So
I suppose from kind of an outside of a hurling or GAA standpoint, you know, like what sort of training does go in, you know, to winning a county championship? Like you're obviously not just training one night a week and going for a puck around for an hour. There's heaps of work put in for amateur athletes. Like,
yeah, 100%. You're looking at 3 or 4 nights a week between their gym programs, training. Like they're looking at what they're eating, you know what I mean. And then from a management side, you're going through what can you do, make it better. What ways can you change it? Looking at opposition. So it's very little change from an inter-county team. The mindset is always, like all through the years, thinking about what's happening next and are we getting the most value out of this player here or that player there, and keeping an eye on the fellas that we have and making sure they're enjoying it all the time, but at the same time that they're keeping up with what we need done. But like the boy said there, a panel of 35 or 6, there's always someone on your back, so like it's very hard to get a jersey into the fellas that did. They wanted to hold on to it, you know.
Yeah. James, of course, you're the captain, but I'd imagine training competitive for everyone in the fight for the jersey was on for all of you boys, if there's 36 or 8 that are well capable of taking your jersey off you.
Oh yeah, there is, yeah. There's a lot of young lads that have to come through the last 2 or 3 years, and they're developing every year, like. So they're always fighting for places, and the guys who are on the 15 are looking over their shoulder trying to hold on to it, like. So yeah, the younger lads that are really pushing are driving the whole thing on. Yeah,
yeah, and that's probably good for the future of Abidorny as well, and the senior side, the kind of the youth are coming in and challenging for the jerseys, as much as maybe you don't want it to happen, but you know, the youth is probably the most important thing, and seeing lads come up from kind of minor under 20s or whatever it is into the senior team and being really competitive, that's what will drive this on, and hopefully maybe next year go for another one.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and getting those lads to experience winning as well is massive, like, you know, because that'll keep them committed as well. So yeah, that's massive for the younger lads. Yeah.
Yeah. As well, talk to me as well about the championship. You'd 2 wins in the group, Causeway and Parnells. I think, if I remember, Parnells gave you a small bit of a fight in the first half. I said it was a few choice words in the dressing room to come out and stamp your authority in the second half. Was there?
Yeah, I think there was no score, I think, in the first 8 minutes of that game, and we were disappointed with our shooting and stuff. And yeah, the dressing room, we had a few choice words, all right, made, but we came out in the second half and played well and put the game to bed, I'd say, with about 10 minutes to go, yeah.
Yeah, it was done and dusted then. On to the semi-final and a good win against Kilmaidy. Kilmaidy were quite fancied coming into that game, James, as far as I remembered, and there was kind of a lot of talk of saying that Abidorny might just have enough for them, but you went out and beat them by 9 in the end. It was a stellar performance and kind of set you on as favourites and into the final, I think.
Yeah, look, you can never underestimate Kilmaidy in the championship, especially in the semi-final, you know, like they're always going to be real competitors, like, so getting over them was massive for us, like, and yeah, maybe the 9 points might have flattered us a bit, but we were just delighted to get over the line against them, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Brendan, I suppose from your standpoint up the top there, all the ways around, there's the Leary name is very synonymous with Abidorny, of course. You know, it was a strong championship throughout, and I said maybe that first couple minutes against Parnells maybe was probably the worst we've seen Abidorny at for 2 years, but from then on you kind of drove on and you just looked like winning, you know, throughout the whole championship, and went to a good few of the games throughout. You could kind of see it in Abidorny that it was only going to be one team to win it. That mentality must be strong amongst the players as well in Abidorny, is it?
Well, it is now, like, but
yeah. Easy to look back now, I suppose, is it?
Jesus, I myself and James, you often talk about it, like, I thought for years that it was never going to happen. And it was looking that way, like, you know, after many years there in championship, we were losing to Ballyduff by points and just dropping the head and wondering, like, it was all a mental game, I think. I think we thought we should have won it 3 years ago as well, like. I remember standing there watching Crotty lift the cup at Ronan Donovan, and he said, "Do you see that? That's how close we are." I think that stuck with me, especially, like, and I think we all knew how close we were, like, and then when it finally clicked, I think now we realise how good we are, like, and, you know, to go out this year to back it up. I think the Kilmaidy game was massive, like Jamesy said there, just because they've always been a monkey on our back, like, and I think we beat them in 2016 and we went to the semi-final that year. We got hammered by Ballyduff. Mm-hmm. But, like, now it's a different team now, like, so I think there is definitely a winning mentality there now. Even the young lads, I'd often talk to O'Sheen, and he's just like, I don't know, I can't see us losing any game. So I think that's just built into us now, so long may it last, because I remember the dog days, I don't know today, but yeah
that actually is an interesting one of kind of like, was there a time you thought, you know, just throw this hurley into the fire, it's done, like, we're not going to have a county medal in my back pocket, and
there was, yeah.
It's so competitive in North Kerry, like, and your neighbouring parishes are winning them and probably hearing the music from the trailers from the homecomings around the place, like, you know, it's you're kind of in school with lads who are winning championships and everything else, and there's so much rivalry out there. There must be a time where you thought this is done and dusted, and all of a sudden now you've 2 in your back pocket.
Yeah, like, especially for me anyway, I didn't know how many years I had left, like, and kept going back trucking. Sure, we won last year then, and it's very hard to walk away then after winning one, sure, no, or after winning two, so you can't walk away again.
You confirmed you're going to be involved next year, so as well, is it?
That's the plan.
Brilliant stuff. Lads, we just have to take a quick break. We'll be back to the Abidorny County Senior Hurling Champions after we take this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk in the final couple of minutes with the Abidorny Hurlers. There's one man we haven't touched yet. That's Conor Vann, the man between the sticks, of course, and a great performance all year and a clean sheet in the county final as well. One you must be proud of, and a couple of big saves along the way, Conor.
Yeah, delighted really. My job is very easy. I have a great six or eight defenders in front of me. I had very little to do all year now. The defenders are class, like they're class, and particularly the full back line, I suppose. We work as a unit there, Jed, Mikey, Stephen in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone covers for each other, you know. It's everything. We all know what each other's going to do. Everybody backs each other up inside there, I suppose. Same as the boys do up the field, but my job is very, very easy in there with the lads, you know.
The role of the goalkeeper now, kind of, though, has gone, you know, it's kind of gone just from stopping shots or whatever else to kind of the puck out now is hugely important. And one thing from watching and listening to the comments from the county final was that, you know, you're able to pick out your men from the puck outs. There's obviously a lot of training, and you know, I don't want to give away any secrets now, but like, obviously the kind of training, kind of the camaraderie with those teammates and kind of knowing where a fella's going to run and stuff, that's a big part of your game now as well.
Yeah, it's huge. Like, it's sure, the amount of, I don't know how many times I poked the ball out, probably 40 times in the game. Like, and it does give you a platform to set up attacks, really. Yeah, like you said, just comes from training, I suppose, knowing what the fellas are going to do. You know, just having that rapport from playing, like Beano says, playing the last couple of years, the county league, the championships, you know what fellas are going to do. And look, when you have fellas like Brendan and Michael to poke the ball, it's very simple again. Like, you know, you don't have to overcomplicate.
It's a dream. You don't have an Abidorny accent, so you're well after fitting in with the team now for the last couple of years, and two county medals. It must give your family a great sense of pride. You're down here in Kerry and winning county championships as well, and going to represent your team in Munster as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I come from a, you know, I was reared on hurling, really. You know, my grandfather and my uncles and my father, and you know, all I ever wanted to do growing up in Portlaoise was play hurling, you know. Yeah, the county final this year was brilliant. I had a cousin down, father, brother, a couple of uncles. It was great to see him on the pitch and gave me a great lift. And yeah, because, you know, I started hurling with them, my grandfather's house back in Portlaoise, you know, and to be winning county championships is a dream, really, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what county it's in, really, once you can have the Níos Fianna or whatever cup around the country. Jamesy, I suppose you're kind of looking now as a bit of a gap till the Munster Championship, which is in somewhat disappointing case, really, that you have to kind of hang up the hurdles for a while. There's lads playing football, which is probably great for fitness and everything else, but a bit of a wait now to go to the Munster Intermediate starts.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's this first weekend in November, I think. But look, Francine, Niall and Beano will have a plan in place, and it'll be a structured plan, and we hopefully will peak for that weekend. But yeah, there is a bit of a wait, all right, chat.
Yeah, Brendan, that kind of gap to try to keep fellas together. Obviously, you've had celebrations the last couple of weeks, which was well deserved as well. But Joe, obviously, as I mentioned, there's football and everything else, so it's hard to keep fellas kind of going and at that level. I presume you have a couple of challenge games to look forward to and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, geez, we're sick of celebrating. No, anyways, there's no
I don't know what that.
A few of us, anyway. Michael, I don't know if he's listening, but he's definitely not, anyway. I suppose, look, there's the North Kerry League coming up there as well, the North Kerry Championship. So last year we won 3 out of 4. So, like, again, it's another chance in history for the club to win 4 out of 4 of all the competitions. So that's a new carrot now as well. Like, you know, I just think while you're on top, win everything and just keep going. Like, and I think once we start playing again, like, once we get back into it, it'll be fine. Like, you know, it's supposed to be daunting not going back into it after 3 weeks off. But I think once you go back for one night, you're back into the swing.
It's just a
nice winter anyway, playing hurling. So, like, you know, it's time to fly.
You're obviously somewhat disappointed last year at the Munster campaign, and obviously to put no pressure on you, winning the county is the most important thing. But I suppose you'd like to have a Munster medal in your back pocket. We saw Kilmaidy go all the way to Croke Park a couple of years ago. That's obviously a long way away. But would you like to kind of be a good competitive in Munster and hopefully maybe a Munster final?
Yeah, definitely. Like that Cashel game last year, I think that scoreline probably flattered them a bit. Like, I think we were in the game, there was just a few small turning points. And like, I was at that Kilmaidy game up in Gaelic Grounds, and they won after extra time. Like, and I seen the scenes, that was unreal. Like, and like, I had my Kerry hat on that day. I was supporting Kilmaidy as well. Like, it was great to see it for Kerry hurling. Like, so I'd love for Abidorny to go that way to just to obviously try and follow them. I think they're the only team to have done it. So
Yeah.
Who knows? But obviously, one step at a time, the first round against the Clare boys first.
I think the club hat comes off and the Kerry hat goes on all of us, and we'll be wishing you all the very best when that comes around in November. William, just finally, I suppose, you know, the club outside there is going from strength to strength. It's a fantastic facility there with the bar and the clubhouse and everything else, and the pitch is in great nick out there as well. But, you know, there's plenty going on in Abbey Dorney, and it's definitely a club that will be here for a long time in the future as well, which is great.
Yeah, but look, there's a pile of people that are helping us out outside there as well. Like being inside in the complex there, any time, you know, for the morning time, we trained early there a few mornings in the Munster there last year. Mm-hmm. Being accommodated us there, we had, we'll say, soup, sandwiches, coffee, tea, whatever. You know, Bill would look after us outside. Davey powered in. We get all the stuff off him above for the lads. Mm-hmm. Francine, the post office, our sponsor there, Mike Griffin. Anything we ask for, there's no questions asked about it as yeah. well. He's really good to the club and all the lads.
A great community spirit around Abbey Dorney, which is great to see. Lads, the very best luck in the Munster and the North Kerry Championship. It might be more important to some of you as well over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be watching with hope and obviously listening with commentary and everything else to the Munster Championship. So very best luck to you. Thanks to the lads from Parnells, to Sean Moriarty on the rally coming up in Killarney, St. Paul's Basketball, the Carstairine Horse and Pony Racing, and Ballyhard Dynamos. It was a real mix of sport in the show this evening. Mary Conroy's up next with Talk Sauce, and I'll be back next Monday from 6. Yeah, very good evening to you. You're welcome along to another Terrace Talk programme, 18th of August 2025. The summer is almost gone. We mightn't have the summer weather here in Tralee this evening. We have plenty of sporting action to keep you entertained between now and 8 o'clock on what is a busy weekend for the county here in Tralee, the Rose of Tralee festivities going on in the town as well. But we'll be going to Killarney first and foremost to St. Paul's Basketball. They're celebrating 40 years this year, another highlight, I suppose, in their chapter in the sporting world. We'll also be heading to Carstairine for the horse and pony race, and that's on this weekend. We'll give you the link to Daniel O'Connell and the race course in Carstairine. Another club celebrating a milestone this week is Ballyhard Dynamos, the soccer club there in kind of the east to mid-Kerry region. A 50-year anniversary for them, so we'll be chatting to a few of the club members there. A unique motorsport event coming to Killarney next month. We'll be chatting all about Rally Masters, and then we'll be talking to the County Minor Hurling Champions in Tralee Parnells and the County Senior Hurling Champions in Abbey Dorney are all popping in to our studio here in Tralee to tell us all about their wins a couple of weeks ago in the County Championship Finals in Ossenstack Park. If you have any sporting views or comments after what was another busy weekend of sport in the county and beyond, you can get in touch with the programme. You can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. Text or WhatsApp on that number. It's Niamh on the phone this evening, 066 712 3666, if you want to give a call if you're listening in far and beyond places, or if you want to get in touch maybe midweek as well. It's terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. We're going to start though with basketball in Killarney and St. Paul's, of course, who are celebrating 40 years in existence this year. We'll be joined by a plethora of guests over the next 20 minutes or so, and that starts with one of the founding members of St. Paul's Basketball Club in Killarney, and that is Tom Looney. Tom, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk this evening. I hope all is well. A big milestone to celebrate this year for St. Paul's.
Hi, Evan. Yes, yeah. Good evening to you too. Yes, it is a huge event, of course. It's 40 years in existence for a basketball club. It's extraordinary, really. I suppose for myself, I suppose I'd be privileged that I'm still around to witness the 40 years, you know. Unfortunately, a number of my co-founders, you know, have passed away, the late Donald Doherty and the late Sean Coleman, you know. And so, but it's so great to see the club so successful as it is 40 years later.
Yeah, bring me back 40 years ago to around about this date and being one of the founding members of St. Paul's. Was there a need for a basketball club in Clarence at the time, Tom?
Oh, there was, yes. Well, there was basketball. There's a huge tradition of basketball in the town. At the time, I suppose, some of us would have been ex-National League players playing County League, and we just felt like there was a new beginning needed, and so we set up St. Paul's. It took a little bit of time, but, we got it going. We felt at the time there was a need to promote and develop maybe a juvenile basketball, which we felt was maybe not getting the same attention that it should have been at the time. So that was kind of really the emergence of it. A group of fellas wanted to kind of look after themselves, I'd say, and play some basketball and maybe look after youngsters as well.
You must be very proud of where the club has come and gone from in those 40 years, Tom, looking back, obviously, with kind of the full history book of it. And now you're playing kind of that National League in men's and women's, and very, very competitive as well. It must give you a great sense of pride to see kind of, kids come in at a very young age, and the progression is right there to senior then as well.
Absolutely. Ivan, I suppose I was above actually at the ladies' final and the National League in Tanna, which, as we all know, is the home of basketball, I suppose, or the headquarters of it. And it was just unbelievable to witness, the progress the club had made in that 40 years. I took a little video of it, and I've looked at it a few times since, both young and old, youngsters being paraded in, cheering on St. Paul's, dressed up in the St. Paul's outfit, as you would for, any sport nowadays. The huge volume of support that travelled all the way from Killarney. And very often, people forget that, in down here in the southwest, in travelling, the distances we have to travel, like for basketball, it often goes unnoticed, so it was a huge occasion that was, and it just kind of opened my eyes really to the fact that how far the club has gone from its origins, really super, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and those early kind of days, when the club was founded, obviously you're kind of maybe just getting by in the first couple of years, I'd imagine, Tom, but steadily then progression came, and you are the club you are today in Killarney.
Yes, as everyone knows, of course, there's a huge tradition of basketball, not only in Killarney, but all over Kerry, and there was always a strength in basketball in Killarney. Of course, it takes second fiddle to the GAA, as we all know, and I suppose maybe we say rightly so, we're after winning our 39th title. Mm-hmm. But to imagine like that the basketball in the county and St. Paul's Club in Killarney, competing at the highest level successfully with counties that don't have the same GAA success, so you're losing players to the GAA all the time. You live with that, and you just get on with it. I suppose a lot of it really is, continuing the tradition of looking after youngsters, giving them as many options in sport as possible to foster their development and to meet new friends and develop as team players. So it's been a huge success, yes.
Yeah, it's it's great, kind of a winter sport as well, when you kind of go in out of the rain and the dark evenings, you can go into Hall and train. Speaking of Hall, and another lifelong member of St. Paul's and a good friend of the programme as well, Niall Botty O'Callaghan, he joins us on the line. Niall, you're welcome along. Look, we mentioned there about the kind of those long evenings, and a new gym in Dreen is fastly being developed, I believe.
Yeah, we're well on the road to seeing our dream, and hopefully we'll be playing some National League games there at the end of the current season in the Women's Super League and the Men's Division 1. We hopefully get a couple of games under our belts and get the young people playing inside there again, and hopefully have a tournament in memory of Keevy and Shaq O'Donoghue and for Skippy Buckley. We do a ladies tournament as well, so it'd be great to host them in our own place. And at the moment, we have $1.5 million spent, and we have another $1.5 million. And thanks to the Minister for Sport and all our local politicians, especially our town council people, the Killarney MD councillors, because without their support for the whole project with the Kerry Stars and the Judo Club and ourselves, we wouldn't have a home. And as Tom will tell you, when we were starting out and growing the club, it's very hard to find venues, and it's very hard to find times to coach the kids. Mm-hmm. So to have our own home is going to be great, Ivan.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, kind of having a home base. Now, you think of, J-clubs in the county, soccer clubs in the county, that kind of home base where, players can go in and they can obviously train, they might be able to mingle and, there'll be cups of tea and everything else. It is kind of the foundations of a club, and, after 40 years to finally maybe have a place that you can call home, and you're not trying to rent different halls around the place, that's going to be kind of your area. That's important for kind of a club aspect of it as well, Niall, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's to create that hub. Like the Kerry Stars will have their section, and the Judo Club will have their section. But from a St. Paul's point of view, like I'm the under 12 coach, and You know, I train on a Monday night from 7 to 7:15, but I can't find another hour in the week to take the kids again. So that'll all change when we have our own facility and we can, you know, we can have a boys' night and a girls' night and a boys' night and a girls' night, because our girls' side of the club has exploded as well. In terms of playing population, I think our underage is one of the biggest in the country, bar none. And then you throw into the likes of, we have the Irish senior ladies coaches or as our under-8s and under-7 dribblers coach. You know, it's great, and the club is going from strength to strength. But the hall is going to be just, it's going to be huge for us as a club. It's going to give us a home, and that's really important. And, you know, when Tom started the club with Christy and all the boys many years ago, you know, that was always going to be an aim to try and get our own place. And there aren't too many basketball clubs in the country with their own home.
Yeah, is this, I suppose in one way it's kind of hard to believe it's 40 years, Botty, I'd imagine, since this all started out in Clarny. It seems to me that St. Paul's been around, it's been around all my lifetime, obviously enough, but, you know, it seems to have been around forever, and it's hard to believe it's only 40 years, but in another stint, I'd imagine you could ask someone, they can't believe it's 40 years either.
Yeah, I've been involved in 39 of them. I spent the first year of St. Paul's. I spent it with the old St. Vincent's, and it's just they were the best times going away for weekends playing. And when we were playing with the likes of Cormac, O'Donoghue, Pat O'Shea, Keevy, and my friend, and you know the great talent that was Brian Clark, all of those guys, you know, going up and down the country every weekend playing at a high level in Division One or whatever. They were the best of times, you know, and we want all the kids in our club to experience it. Like our under 16 girls go to Spain every year for camps, our under 16 boys have travelled, and it's about, you know, letting kids play the game. It doesn't matter what sport any young person plays. Once they're playing a sport, it gives them a structure and it gives them a discipline. And, you know, the likes of Tom and the likes of Christy and the boys had the foresight to see that, you know, Killarney needed that, you know. And the likes of Tim Regan below in St. Brendan's College, I mean, he nurtured so much talent and gave me and other fellas the love of basketball, you know, which you never forget these things. You never forget those people. So for this hall, you know, it gives us a chance to remember all those people down through the years and say, you created this, it's you. And, you know, that you started the flame on day one, and now look where we are. And, you know, hopefully now we'll have a Terrace Talk live from the hall the weekend we open, and Ivan, you can see it firsthand. It's just phenomenal, and the likes of O'Callaghan Builders, what they've done for it is you know, we're just so excited. I'm excited, you know. Mm-hmm. I love bringing people up to show them the facility. I love the Minister for Sport was here, Patrick O'Donovan, 3 weeks ago, blown away by it. You know, Norma, Michael, Denny, and Michael Cahill, all of those people have been so supportive of this, and we wouldn't be anywhere. And it's very important from the St. Paul's point of view to thank those people, because they've really knuckled down. But the 7 town Killarney MD members, they took a brave vote twice to give us 1.5 million. You know, mm-hmm. It was just phenomenal what they did for us. And I'll never forget it, and I know our club will never forget it. And, you know, it's quick and it's easy for me, Ivan, because I'm the politician, you're going to say, you're only saying it. But it's easy for everybody to pick up the phone and say, you know, hey, you did something wrong, oh, the Irish Party or whatever. And it's quick to absolutely bury a politician. But when those 7 politicians took that decision, it was for the betterment of the young people at Killarney. So if I expound their virtues, I really do appreciate it. And Kerry County Council, the way they backed it from day one. So the big project for us right now is the roads and the infrastructure and the parking, and that's going to go on as well over the next couple of months. And then we'll be able to lay our floor in early December. And it's a double hall, so it's pretty much the same size as Aura. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be amazing.
And that is important for the longevity of the club as well. Obviously, you mentioned about it being a home night, but you know, you mentioned there your under 12 group and everything. They'll have that spot to go and train, and the youngsters will be able to come up to Doreen now, and you'll be there right through their hopefully careers into playing National League, Super League basketball in Ireland as well.
Yeah, and see, that's the point. The double hall gives me flexibility, because I've like, when I tell you the biggest playing membership, the under 12 boys last year, I had 38 boys every night. And they're amazing, and they're talented, and they train twice a week, and nobody missed training. And it was the fun I got out of it more so than the coaching, the kids. And, you know, I'd encourage anybody who's sitting at home every night just chilling out and used to play basketball, please come, get involved. you'll get so much more out of it than you're going to put in. You know, it's so rewarding, and I'm looking forward again. Now my under-12s are starting in a couple of weeks' time, and you know, they're just it gives you life. And then, you know, if you have the under-12 girls coaching and or training on the other side, or an hour later, you know, mm-hmm. we have so much flexibility to grow our club even bigger. But it's for the benefit of the whole community. Like, that facility is open to everyone in the whole community. You know, it's not just St. Paul's. Mm-hmm. We will have times, but it's there for rent. It's there for other clubs to come and enjoy it. And it's the same with the judo club. It's the same with the Kerry Stars at a coffee shop, even. Mm-hmm. And the Kerry Stars themselves are going to work that. We have a town square. It's going to be, it's life-changing. And it's going to create a lovely hub in that area. You know, for Killarney Celtic, biggest, as you know, huge soccer club and mm-hmm. huge membership. And the Legion next door, again, huge membership. And they can just walk and have a cup of coffee and relax and watch their kids training, or come on into the facility and enjoy a game of basketball, or, you know, or the, if the clubs want to use it for a football for all, it's there for that, you know. That's very important.
I hope for everybody. Sheila Dixon's also on the line. Sheila, you're welcome along. I'm sure you'd have been delighted with a gym like Doreen in the 90s when you were running the town leagues. Tell me a small bit about that, Sheila.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, no, I suppose I wasn't around for the start of St. Paul's. I was in the UK and I came home in 1990. Like all good things, I happened to meet Christy Sheehan one day. And of course, he said, you have a bit of time in your hands in the evening. Come away down and give me a hand with the town league. So I started off on the door in the town league in St. Mary's Parish Hall. And when I see over the years, a lot of the young people that started out in the town league, and to see how they progressed along the way, it gives me great pleasure and pride to watch them playing at senior level, no matter at what level, whether it's girls or boys. But we had tremendous support that time in the town league. And when I started at the door, of course, needless to say, I progressed on to running the town league then. And we brought some fabulous parents in with us as well. We had the O'Neills, we had the Kennedys, we had the Griffins, you know, so they all helped as well. And as Tom had said there, like, the juveniles was a big aspect of St. Paul's when they started out. So we were able to bring, because of the town league, all these other parents in to kind of strengthen the club structure. So it was a great benefit for us, and it was great. When I think of some of the nights, it would be heaving down there. And especially in the nights of the final, we used to get it videoed. And then the videos, anyone could rent the videos out below in cases for 50 cents or whatever to see themselves. But like that now, we had razzmatazz, and, you know, they'd be called out by their names, and, you know, and the kids had great, fantastic. They'd be hanging off the rafters. Yeah, there was just fierce excitement there. And then, of course, you know, we progressed down to we had a number of hall facilities. We had the Prez, you know, with the sim, mm-hmm. I said, and then the Killarney Sports and Leisure Complex, and now looking forward to the new facility as well. It's going to be huge for the club. But and it's just great to see, because the juveniles is where it's all about, and you can see the interest there, because even for any of the boys' games or the girls' games, there's always at halftime some of the juvenile teams that come out and give an exhibition, and it's just fantastic to see them. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of early in the 90s, Sheila, was obviously the club was fairly new at that stage. So those town leagues are probably very important to get people in amongst the basketball again. Obviously, those things can tend to be very competitive, but there is a social aspect to it as well. And a lot of those people who came in probably in those 90s playing in the town league, you know, ended up going to keep on playing basketball as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we had Lynn Jones, Diane Griffin, and we had all the Buckley girls. You know, we had them all. And even the coaches. And I suppose as well as that, like, when we expanded the town league then to encourage schools just on the perimeter, it's like he's coming now and bussing them to come in to Tierna Bowl, for them to come in and play in the town league, because we said they'd all be graduating, because we did fourth, fifth class, and then we did fifth and sixth. So they'd all be progressing into either the SEM or the Prez or the community college. So it was very important that, you know, at least then, if they were coming into town, going to secondary school, they at least had a familiar face that they played against them in the town league or whatever else it was. And then some of the coaches went out to the schools from St. Paul's. Some volunteers went out. Brian Clark used to coach in the schools, and a number of others, Vince Daly, you know, used to go out to the schools. And then when our Americans came, when we started playing, they would go out to the schools around the areas as well and coach. So it was a way of really expanding the club into areas outside of just Killarney town. And as Batty said earlier, like, it's a huge, and Tom, it's a huge community. Like, and it wasn't just a small number of people that, you know, built the club. It was everybody bought in to the whole concept of it, and I suppose encouraging the young people and the parents that got involved. And they all stayed, you know, with the club. And it's wonderful to see all these young people now, as I said, that started out in the town league, giving back to the club now and being very involved in it. So it is wonderful, I love going to the games. Like, I love following the club,
Yeah, it's great, a great pastime, and their Saturday nights are definitely busy between the women's and the men's senior teams as well. Also on the line is James Weldon, of course. He's the head coach of the Irish women's senior basketball team, but a proud St. Paul'sman as well. James, you're welcome along. I suppose that when you're kind of in an Irish setup and everything else, it's always kind of, maybe you're so busy and everything else, kind of hard to come back and think about the club. But, you know, it's the roots you've had in Killarney and kind of the upbringing to get you to where you are, and the coach job as well. It is a fantastic little club in Killarney, and they're going from strength to strength.
It is fantastic, Ivan, and thanks for inviting me on, and it's great to hear Sheila talking so passionately there about the Town League. You know, I suppose that's where I would have started out. You know, I think I was about the same height then as I am now, and we had the small baskets, and then Christy Sheehan stopped me from dunking in the baskets, but I wasn't able to dunk it since, you know. But St. Paul's have, you know, done so much for me, you know, to kind of get me to the position I was in, and the likes of Tom there, and all would have kind of given me my first kind of coaching opportunities as well, and kind of would have mentored me from a kind of a young age. I took a big interest in coaching as a young age, like, you know, but like, always try to get back to see as many games as I can, and it's great to have the women's team now in the Super League as well, because it makes my job a little bit easier to kind of, you know, keep an eye on the local players as well as the players coming down from around the country, besides having to travel to watch games. You know, it's a huge plus as well. But fantastic club, you know, kind of, it's really expanded, and I suppose I've kind of come to full circle now again. Like, my own two kids have kind of started off with the under sixes this season or last season, and myself and my wife been kind of roped back in and doing the coaching there, and we thoroughly enjoy that, like, you know. And I suppose we're just trying to, you know, instill some of the kind of love and passion for the sport that we got from the likes of, you know, I think Shawnee Coleman, God rest him, was the first coach I had in St. Paul's, coming on the back of the kind of Town League setup, you know. I think we went in with kind of under 8 at the time, or under 10s, you know. But yeah, it was great times and great memories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of, you know, take a national job, like an Ireland job, it must, you know, kind of look back at your time in Killarney and kind of what got you to here. And it probably is, you know, down to the likes of the work that Tom was doing, to kind of, you know, you're able to work your way through the pathway. And, you know, when you're coaching an Irish team, I'm sure there's plenty of pride in the club and you as well, but I'm sure you've plenty of pride in them as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you know, I think Tom was a very patient mentor. Like, I think it would have been going through the school as well in Killarney Community College. Like, and, you know, I mean, he allowed me to make mistakes and learn from the mistakes, and was always really, really supportive. And, you know, lots of other people within the club, you know, like all the Sheehan family, Paul and Joey and Batty's on there with you as well, and Sheila as well. Like, you know, I remember when I was under 17 girls coach, you know, Sheila and the O'Neills, and a lot of they had a juvenile committee that, you know, organised 3 years in a row. It was probably one of the biggest underage tournaments at the time in the country, like, with, you know, there was up to 18, 20 teams from all over Ireland coming down in kind of early October, and there was a great buzz around the town for that as well, like, you know. But Yeah, no, look, really, really hardworking people. And it's great to see the club kind of going strength to strength. Like, I suppose, like, a lot of my friends growing up would have been through the basketball. I'm actually from Foster myself, and Sheila kind of touched on there as well about, you know, the power of the town need to kind of, you know, attract people in from outside of the kind of urban district of the town. And, you know, it was great kind of growing up in those times. You know, we were always in the hall, we were always, you know, down watching whoever was playing. It could have been any underage team or any senior team or whatever it may be. So there was kind of, but at that time, there was probably, you know, maybe one team at each age group. But, like, talk to Paul, you know, the chairman, like, he'd tell you, like, it's, you know, there's possibly 2-3 teams at different levels at every age group, like, you know, so always looking for coaches. And, like, I just think it's brilliant the way the game has kind of grown, you know, not just in St. Paul's, but just around the county. Because, like, I suppose when we were growing up, you probably had St. Mary's and Castle Island, probably Killarglen, and obviously Tralee Tigers at the time, you know, possibly a team in the Stall. But, like, you know, you have teams in every kind of village around Kerry at the moment. So it's just great to see the game kind of growing and expanding to the level that it is.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Finally on the line is Enda Walsh, who's been waiting patiently for us to get down the list. Look, and obviously the 40 years is a huge milestone, and you're marking that in Clarny as well next month.
Yeah, first of all, Ivan, thanks for giving us the exposure on your fantastic programme there. It was great to get on Terrace Talk anytime. Yeah, on Saturday, 27th September, the Clarny Avenue Hotel, we're going to have a big celebration night. We'll be calling on all former players, present players, officers, mentors to come and celebrate the night with us. It's going to be a big sit-down meal. Tickets are going to be limited because we're expecting a huge crowd. It's going to be €50 for the ticket. And what we're going to do is we're going to pre-sale the tickets. So they're going to be on sale in the Racecourse Cafe on Thursday the 28th and Friday the 29th of August from 7 to 9 p.m. So we'd encourage all our members, past and present, to get out early and get the tickets and get the momentum going for this night, because it's a fantastic club, and as you've heard from all the contributors there, they've all put their heart and soul into it. It's very important that we celebrate that and give us momentum for going forward for the next 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, because we're running out of time, but do you want to ask us about the men's and women's senior sides? We're used to hearing your voice on the radio previewing and reviewing. All systems go for this year, and obviously with the weather and the schools going back and everything else, it's always high time that the basketball comes back.
Yeah, the two lads now, Sam and Steve, are flying in actually next Monday, and I think the three girls, Maisie, Tara and Lavita, are coming in the following week. So they'll be starting to get to know their new teammates and stuff, and they'll be training with them. And just while I have you, I just want to pop in something there, Ivan, that I've been talking to a few of the clubs in Kerry, and we're going to be launching a new podcast in the winter for Kerry basketball. I'll be looking after that myself with a couple of other people, and we're going to just have our own little podcast about the clubs in Kerry playing in the National League. We want to get in underneath those clubs and give them their little exposure. Of course, Radio Kerry and all the local papers are brilliant, but we're just going to try this for the winter and just see how we get on. So I'm delighted the likes of Tralee and Clark have come on board with this, and we're just going to do our own little podcast show for a couple of times a month, and we're going to drive it on and see how that goes. So all we're trying to do is as St. Paul's have been doing for the last 40 years, we're trying to increase the exposure of young people to basketball and show them what a great winter sport it is. You're inside in the hall, no need to worry about getting wet, there's no need to worry about being cold, and we have good coaches in the club as well too, and we look after them and bring them on to the next level.
Absolutely. Enda, thanks very much for all of that, and to James Weldon, to Sheila Dixon, to Niall Botty O'Callaghan and Tom Looney. All fantastic stories from St. Paul's Basketball Club in Clarny, of course, who are celebrating their 40th year this year with a special night as well next month. But great to hear the old stories of the Town League and how the new hall and everything is coming along. Just to step away from sport for just a second, Miles Gap, the road has reopened following a crash. One person has been taken to hospital there, but that road has reopened. That's the Miles Gap Road. The Killarney to Kamara Road has reopened following a crash earlier on today. If you want to get in touch with the programme, 083 300 3300 and text or WhatsApp, or give us a call on 066 712 3666.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Now, next weekend, or this coming weekend, is a big weekend in Carstavine. Of course, it's the annual horse and pony racing meeting below there, and it's always a huge occasion in Carstavine to finish off the kind of summer season before the kids head back to school. Delighted to be joined by Leonard Hurley, who's no relation of mine, and Liam Musgrave, who both join us in studio to give us a bit of information about the races and kind of where they all came from. Lads, thanks a million for popping up to the studio on Tralee this evening, first and foremost. Leonard, I'll start with you. And look, obviously, there's been big celebrations for Daniel O'Connell in the 250 years over the last couple of weeks down Derrynane and that neck of the woods. But he's got a fierce connection to the race course in Carstavine as well.
Oh, absolutely. He was the person that gave the race course to the people of Carstavine. And of course, he's known for many other things, both nationally and internationally. A major figure, a man who was reported consistently in newspapers throughout the world. It would be true to say, I think, that in his time, and probably still is the best known Irishman, possibly of all times. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. So his connection with the racecourse, he owned the land. He was the landlord below there. So he was kind of the instrumental, I suppose, in getting the horse and pony racing going in Carstavine first day.
That's right, yes. 1852, the first races were run on this particular site. As you said, O'Connell owned the land. He was one of, off the top of my head, six or seven landowners in the entire peninsula. And he showed on many occasions his generosity towards the people. When the famine came, he brought a shipload of grain into the harbour in Carstavine to relieve the hunger that was there at the time. So O'Connell had many influences in the town as well as in the country at large.
Yeah, and in the horse racing, obviously it's a good plot of land in Carstavine where the racing is on as well, so very generous of him to give that to the town. It's kind of a tradition that stayed in Carstavine ever since.
Absolutely, yeah. When I was growing up, and still is, it was a focal point of the year. I can still remember the shall we say, the musicians that would come as you headed out towards the race course. And there's kind of a natural amphitheatre there as well, because there's a sloping ground right onto the onto the course itself, and you get a good view of the full course as the horses went around. And of course, a very famous ballad was written by Sexton Clifford, A Day of the Races in Carstavine, and that song can be heard as well by Tim Dennehy. Makes a tremendous job. Tim is a traditional singer from Carstavine, and A Day of the Races of Carstavine, it would be again very traditional, as I said, written by Sexton Clifford, a local poet and novelist.
Plenty of history around it, so no pressure on Liam to make sure the tradition stays alive, and that's probably where the committee come in, and a fantastic order of events coming up this weekend, which obviously culminates in the racing on Sunday.
That's right, Ivan. We actually start off the weekend on on Friday night with a dog show in the Fairfield, and then the racing itself starts at 1:30 on Sunday. And we have 9 races, of all sponsored races by the local people of Carstavine, the local traders of the town, and lots of businesses in South Kerry as well come on board, which is very good every year. And so this, as Leonard said, that it was, some people might say it was a burden on the committee to have to keep this going, but it's marvellous thing that it's kept going and never missed a year, apart from 1 year of the COVID. We weren't able to have it that year, but that was okay. That was all.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the kind of the horse and pony racing is kind of a training ground or a nursing ground for up and coming jockeys. And there's some big names that have won in Carstavine as well.
Absolutely, Ivan. And it's like, you know, with the GAA, the under 12s, under 14 people, they bring them along. But this is a training ground for these boys and girls, you know. So it's this big thing. We have had lots of famous jockeys that started off in Carstavine, including Norman Williamson would have been the first he rode, and he rode winner of the Gold Cup and the champion hurdle in Cheltenham. He would have been younger then, but and then following on from that, nowadays Paul Townend was our champion jockey and Danny Mullins were their champion jockeys. We had lots of other lads that made it in the flat, like Tom Queeley, and he rode the best race horse of all times called Frankel. He started off in Carsabine. He was the champion jockey. His father brought him all the way from Waterford to Carsabine, and I remember it well that morning because it was a terrible bad morning, and he rang at about 7:30 wondering would he make the journey from Waterford, because he said, yeah, I have a young lad here, he said, and he's mad to get winners today. So they're all lovely young lads and girls, you know, to come there every year.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a great chance for them to be able to show their skills, but then it's great for the general public to go in and maybe see the future, you know, Gold Cup winning jockey or Grand National winning jockey or whatever it might be. And that's what that kind of horse and pony racing does. And we have a strong kind of appetite for it in Kerry. We obviously had the Dingle races last weekend as well. There is a good appetite for that here in Kerry, and I'm sure Carsfield will be a hive of activity the weekend.
Oh, it will, hopefully, Ivan, yes. And just not leaving you an old Jack Kennedy and O'Shea Murphy in the later years, mm-hmm. and Darragh O'Keefe, they would have been, you know, in the past years. And with the help of God, we'll have a lot of up and coming jockeys here the weekend. There's a good few young boys and girls now with big names ahead of them already. There's a boy called Reese Houlihan, and boy that comes all the way down from the north, from Newry. He's keen. Keane McNally, his name escaped me.
I hear Charlie Farley, that name gets mentioned again.
Keane McNally is going to be the up and coming boy, but there's a lot of them at the moment. Again, now there's about 15 or 20 in there, all trying to make it in this.
Yeah, that leads to kind of a lot of trainers and everything. I'd imagine keeping a close eye on the horse and pony racing, because if you can kind of see the skill set of a jockey at a young age, they'd want to be signing them up fairly lively. So it does kind of bring that interest, and you're away from your traditional Killarney race course or the Stoll race course, where, you know, it's fully professional environment, you know, you're watching the races there, and like it is different in that sense, but there's still a lot at stake here, and there's some big names and people down watching as well.
Oh, there is, yes, and a lot of the big trainers bring their sons that start off, you know, they all start off there, and they come down with them. At the moment now on the circuit is Gavin Cromwell has a son, and Jake Cromwell, he's smaller, he's only about 12, I'd say, and he's an up and coming star as well at the moment.
Yeah, and I believe some of Daniel O'Connell's family are going to be at the event to present one of the plates, is it?
Yeah, we have the 8th race on the card that day will be the Daniel O'Connell 250-year commemoration plate, and there will be representatives coming down to present that. And we're also going to unveil a plaque for the commemoration year and the appreciation of it being left to the people of Carsabine. We'll be unveiling that throughout the day as well.
Yeah. Leonard, that kind of connection with Daniel O'Connell for the races, it is important, and it's nice, you know, on such a, you know, historic year in the 250 years, it is nice to be able to kind of honour that and put up your plaques and name a plate and everything after the man from Carsabine. And, you know, as kind of an organisation, it's great that they can kind of lean on that as well. But it does add that kind of extra bit of buzz around it this year.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, as you said, the festivities this year have been tremendous, very well organised and very well executed. And again, I should have said that the race course itself is less than a mile from O'Connell's birthplace in Carn. So again, a very, very special location, the fact it's so near to his birthplace and that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But and of course, you have the O'Connell Memorial Church, which is being renovated, again, a major icon in the area. So there's lots about O'Connell in the area, where his parents are buried, and where O'Connell was baptised in the old penal church, as we call it. So there's lots still about O'Connell. You couldn't go very far in Ireland without meeting an O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
And we have one in Carsabine, O'Connell Street as well. I think practically every town in Ireland would have an O'Connell Street. Mm-hmm. And of course our capital, we're very proud of O'Connell Street and the statue of O'Connell,
of course, yeah.
On O'Connell Street.
Yeah, just, you know, and it, like that, it does go to show that like 250 years later, you know, we're still honouring him and talking about him. So what he's done in true life, I suppose. Liam, just before we go, you might just mention once more just kind of the race types of people are maybe about on Sunday, Rosa Tralee, after winding down and everything else. So there seems to be a festival weekend in August in Kerry. whatever goes on. But you might just tell us a small bit, just again, just the race times, maybe how people can get in and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the first race, as I say, is on at 1:30, and we have 9 races on the card, and we also have an appropriately dressed lady and gent sponsored on the day by Skillix Holiday Homes. And that night then we're having a dance in the Kerry Coast Inn, and it's going to be, the music is by Jack Yeo. He's an up and coming musician from San Carlo. So the admission then on the day is €10, and the admission on the night is €15. So we also have a champion jockey, and that's the most sought after thing by all those boys that come down and girls come down. And we've nicely sponsored by Farini for us in Carsabine.
Brilliant stuff. Lads, thanks very much for taking the time out and popping into us this evening. It sounds like it's going to be a great weekend next week in Carsabine, and all the tributes and everything else for Daniel O'Connell as well. So thanks to you both for popping into the studio in Tralee. If you want to get in touch with the programme, you can text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300 or you can call 066 712366.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Radio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We've gone from basketball to horse racing and now to soccer, so it's a wide variety programme this evening. But Ballyhard Dynamos and St Paul's and Clarny have a similar idea this year. They're 50 years old, Ballyhard Dynamos, of course. I said mid-Kerry earlier on, but it's technically probably East Kerry, mid-Kerry border, I suppose. I don't want to draw anyone's into trouble, but right there in the heartlands outside Killarney, and a huge catchment area, of course, around by Fieries and everything else. So a big club in Ballyhare, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. We're joined in studio, Geoff Fitzgerald, who currently plays for their senior side. We'll ask him all the tricky questions about tactics and everything else. Donald Groves, one of the founding members. We've Gerry Fitzgerald as well, former player and coach of the girls and boys teams there, and Des O'Connor, who was involved from the early years. Lads, thanks very much for popping by. Des, I suppose I'm going to start with you in the fact of, you know, probably the early kind of stages of it, and Donald as well being the founding member. But Des, firstly, I suppose when it came about that the club was started, you know, it was obviously needed in that area, and you're kind of, as I mentioned, it's kind of that kind of circle of an area around kind of the big towns where there was need for a soccer club.
Yeah, yes, there was. And we all grew up together basically at around that time. And I know we didn't play our first league game in the Kerry District League until 1975, but we were together before this. And we were very young. I'd say we were about 14 or 15 years old. And we were always playing together. And we did a little pitch back, which we used to call Tehan's Field, back in Ballinalan. And we started from there. And we used to have some daily battles behind there. And we used to play on all hours of the night. And we got the mad idea into our head at one stage that we'd farm a soccer club, which you can imagine at that time was maybe a bit
controversial. Maybe.
It was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we'd like just to give an idea. I just went back over notes that I kept at the time, and I went back to 1973, and we were actually together in 1973, and we played Fieries Farm 4 in a challenge game. It was 5-2, and with loads of challenge matches before we really decided to go into the Kerry District League. And believe it or not, I was going to the sim at the time, and I used to arrange matches with the teams, class teams. We used to go in on Sundays, and we used to have some great matches inside. And they used to come out and they used to see us playing, but they left us play away. So we, like there's so much, like just trying to compress it into the period of time in the early years. Then we got the idea into our head that we'd form a soccer club. Mm-hmm. And we used to meet in a little house back near Tehan's Field, a little house, and that's where we had our first meeting. And we took it from there, and we moved up into a little store in Michael Lowry's shop. And we used to have our meetings there. Mm-hmm. And our main problem at the beginning was to try to get funds and to try to get a field. And we were very thankful to John Pinder and the Prendergast family for allowing us to use their pitch. And there was Gaelic football being played there at the time, and we worked around that, and that was where we started from. So our first game was against Gatineau, believe it or not, in the Kerry Cup in April 1975. And we lost that, and our first league game was we played St. Pat's of Blennerville. And I brought down here, we were so young, all very young players. And like, you think of it now, like, we were 15, 16 lads and we were going in, we were playing fellas way older than us.
Yeah.
We were a tough bunch of young fellas. We'd grown up together, we knew each other inside out and we'd die for each other.
Mm. They were a tight bunch of players, to be fair. Like,
we were a very tight bunch of players. And we'd next to nothing and we started our little club. And I'm going to fly through now because I want to give the only chance, another fellas a chance to talk as well. We got into the Reserve Cup and we were playing in the Reserve Cup. And believe it or not, we were mad to try to win that Reserve Cup. And we got to the semi-final 2 years in a row and we were beaten in penalty shootouts. It was heartbreaking. And then, after all that, the third year, we got to the final. We were playing Ballydesmond. The whole parish came in to see us. We were in the final, had we arrived. Mm-hmm. We were inside, and believe it or not, 15 minutes into the game, Ballydesmond, they hit us like a flood. We were 3-0 down after 15 minutes. And Jesus, I was on the sideline the same day, and my son Pardo. And I was injured at the time, but anyway, to make a long story short, the game transpired and went on. 15 minutes left, Potter turns around and says to me, "Des, you're on." I'm going, "Man." So I'm down, and to pure luck, ball hopped in the middle of the field. I drew on it, the goalkeeper was off his line, back to net. Mm-hmm. Then we were like min possessed. Timmy Teen, I think, cracked in another shot, and we drew level with him 3-3 and struck the crossbar to win. That wasn't good enough. But we had to take him to a second replay and always remember it. We played him when Kerry were playing Cork in a league game. I think it was a league match inside in Killarney. And the crowd were going down and we were playing under the railway bridge. And again, it ended in a draw. And it went to a third replay. And we beat Ballydesmond finally, we beat him 2-0 and we were up and running.
The first trophy.
That was our first trophy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just, I was asked tonight, there's so many things, lads. To kind of say the first team to play in the Kerry District League were as follows: in goals, Aidan Power, with the backs, Donald Rose, Brendan Keogh, Tim Connor, with Johnny Connor, with John Kerris, with Tom Kerris, with John O'Shea, with Jim O'Connor, with Willie Manny, Padraig Donohoe, and with extra, with Des O'Connor and Christy McCarthy. And tonight, we'd like to remember fellows that played with us and contributed greatly to the club. And we had a lot of great people that helped us and supported us that never played with us, but were very good to us. We lost Johnny McCarthy, may God be good to him, and Mort Scott, who's an absolute legend, may Mort rest in peace. And very recently, I lost a great dear friend of mine, Sean O'Sullivan. So I'd like to remember Sean tonight. And an old classmate was very interested in football, or in soccer as well, John Foley. And John was with us at that time as well. So, is there anything else I want to say, lads? Mm-hmm. Down to as much as I want to say now, and let's
talk. I know, and fair play, and it's a lovely little sentiment to remember those gone by. And Donal, I suppose on that, it is important when, you know, 50 years, it's great to be able to kind of sit here and talk maybe about the future and what's come and gone in the club, but it is important to kind of remember, you know, those people who are there from the start and unfortunately maybe aren't with us anymore, or you know, have moved away from the sport as well. It's always nice to, you know, you reach a milestone, you think of those things as well.
Absolutely, you go back to where you were founded, and we were pitchers was a big problem, where to play and not to play, and they came to my place in 1980 for the first time ever, and there was tug out over in the yard and outhouses, and go away again around the country, and we'd be playing somewhere and back again to Roisin. And anyway, the day of the grand opening of our pitch and stand and the whole lot, John O'Donnell was Minister of Sport that time, and I said in my speech, I was chairman that time, they couldn't get rid of a bad thing to say, but I saw. Anyway, I said in my speech, turn the opposition, couldn't find the pitch at times. We couldn't find it ourselves, we changed so often.
But that is the early days of where you are trying to find a spot. And Jerry, I'm going to come to you now, because to be fair, you've got a fantastic facility in Ballyhair, often pass that way when you're maybe heading to Fireys from Killarney, whatever else, kind of pass it a good bit, and every time you kind of pass, you say, like, you know, it is gas, it is in, you know, pretty much the middle of nowhere between kind of towns, and like there's obviously big towns and plenty of houses and everything there.
Yeah.
But you know, to see kind of a soccer club, it is unusual. Like, cause we're used to seeing J pitches kind of every corner of the country, but you pass kind of a soccer pitch. It's great to see, and it does go to show, like, 50 years later, and the success that is there to have that facility where it is.
Yeah. No, I suppose there's huge credit due to the club. I mean, a question we get asked a lot about is the name, the Ballyhair Dynamos. And I was talking to the boys here at the start, and they were saying it was Dynamo Kiev, I think, was the inspiration. generation back in the 70s. They were very strong. But yeah, I suppose the club is in great shape now. There's a lot of people, you know, Donal O'Donoghue and Tim Tehan and loads of these lads, and Mort Scott in particular, lads that did huge work at the early days to help get the facilities up and running. And the boys mentioned Tehan's Field and Pinder's Field. They were grand. They were tight. They were small. But now we have a big expansive pitch. We have a fabulous clubhouse. Huge work went into that, you know, fundraising from the local community and stuff like that. And we have plans to develop further. We have a second pitch now in the progress of planning permission at the moment, and we're hoping to develop that because the club is growing away. We have 171 players probably from under 12 up, and another probably 150 from in the academy from under 6 up along, and that's including boys and girls. Mm-hmm. We have a social soccer team as well now that's up and running, and we just recently won the Cadbury's Kick Fit social soccer tournament, which was great.
Absolutely,
it's an important one. It's getting tight for space in the trophy cabinet, but you know, yeah, we try to keep going. But no, I suppose, look, it's a rural club. A lot of the teams the lads mentioned there, St. Pat's, Gartaglin, Fossa, these teams, they're all gone. But Ballyhart kept going, and they struggled on. And, you know, with support from the community and hardworking club members, the club is growing, and it's at its peak now, I'd say, at the moment. You know, it's continuing in an upward trajectory.
And having that facility in the state, maybe bringing that kind of second pitch, that is important for the youth and everything else, and getting people in. And I'm sure Jerry would probably agree with me, through the years it's probably a case where you probably struggled for numbers, maybe at underage level and up to senior. It can be difficult. There's so many different sports going on and everything else, but I'm sure, you know, at this stage that Dynamos are well set at senior level as well.
We like that. Like we were talking about the pitches there, the pitch up at Donald's place, the new setup was 2006, I think. But, you know, when I was playing underage, you were getting changed at the side of a field, whatever field you were playing in. Mm. So the facilities are absolutely fantastic. It's catering for so many underage teams as well as the senior team at this stage. Mm. That, you know, the second pitch will be a great asset. But I suppose regarding the senior team, they would have had success over the years. They won the Reserve Cup twice in the 80s and in the early 2000s, as well as the FAI, the Kerry section of the FAI Junior Cup. Mm-hmm. In the late 90s, and we won a youth league in the early 2000s as well. So there's been a good bit of success, not a huge amount recently with the senior team, but look, with all these players coming from the underage setup, hope, you know, the future is very bright for the club, which is great to see.
Yeah, and like, obviously, you probably judge, you know, different clubs on maybe success and everything else. But I think, to be fair, with a team like Ballyhare, and you might disagree and say you want to win a division or the cup or whatever it is, but, you know, at the end of the day, kind of like being able to feel the teams and seeing the kids come through, at the end of the day, that's what sport's about. And I think, you know, you're doing a fantastic job, all of you in Ballyhare, and you know, probably against a lot of the odds in kind of a rural area, you know, you've kind of proven maybe a lot of people wrong over time. As you mentioned, there's different clubs have come and gone. So let's continue success. Unfortunately, we're just, the clock is against us tonight. We're kind of watching. There's a quick mention for a couple of people who've helped Ballyhare to get to this point.
Yeah, no, just one particular thing, I suppose, that we're having the 50th anniversary celebration on Sunday the 24th in Ballyhare from 12 to 4. We've a blitz done. We've a legends game. Well, legends might be a loose word there, but we have ex-players coming back to play, on a game as well, and we're very much excited about that. And I suppose the club is developing. The facilities in comparison to other rural clubs are phenomenal, and we're looking for sponsors for the club continuously, and we're open to anyone willing to come on board to help the club come true. And the numbers are growing, so we're very happy with the work that the club have done.
Yeah, and if anyone's ever heading back to Fires in Clarny,
I just meant to say only from my neighbour next door, they've been overly hard for giving us the right of way up to our pitch, and I think that's a very important thing to say.
No, and, absolutely.
One thing I was actually mentioning as well tonight, there's a very famous pool marathon way back in the day. It was for 50 hours. Paddy O'Donoghue and Mike O'Donoghue. And they gave 50% of the donations to St. Mary's of the Angels in Beaufort, and gave the other 50 to our soccer club. It was an unbelievable achievement at that time. That was the kind of spirit that was there.
Yeah.
We were all helping each other, and we were all pulling together.
And that's a tight group, it goes a long way to help a club.
Absolutely. It's a close spirit. Lads, unfortunately, we're completely out of time. We're going to have to go for news at 7.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.